Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Go For It. I am your host, Paul Gant. And for the next hour, we will be talking sports and having fun doing it. I want all your ideas. I want all your opinions. And I want all your beliefs. And of course, you will get a heavy dose of my opinion. And if you have an opinion, the number's to call. 1-646-727-3070. That's 1-646-727-3070. And you can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/pgan. That's blogtalkradio.com/pgan. And you can send email messages to the show at goforit.gant@gmail.com. That's goforit.gant@gmail.com. Well, today we're scheduled to have expected to be joined by WBC welterweight champion Andre Berto. Andre's coming off an impressive performance against Carlos Quintana. And Andre's going to talk about what he's been up to and what's next for him. And it should be interesting what's next for him. We know now that the Mayweather-Pacquiao fight will not be happening. Apparently Pacquiao has signed to face Antonio Margarito, the disgraced Antonio Margarito, on November 13th, maybe in Vegas, maybe in Mexico, still up in the air at this point. But it's a fight that I'm not really interested in seeing. Pacquiao will move up to the junior middleweight division. That's 154. But again, it's a fight that I'm really not interested in seeing. It's a fight that it's kind of like, who cares? In a lot of ways, you wish that, again, egos would step out of the way and Pacquiao and Mayweather would get this thing on. But we're stuck and subjected to fights such as Margarito versus Pacquiao, a fight that many do not want to see, a fight that it's probably going to be a pay-per-view fight. And it's a fight that it just has no interest, really. It really has no interest. And I just wish the powers that be at boxing and boxing would just find a way to get these fights done. And because, you know, people are missing out on greatness and great fights. And that would have been a great fight. But it's no telling. I mean, it still may happen. But who knows? You hope that it will happen. But again, who knows? But anyway, we will be joined by Andre Berto, who will talk about what's going on with him and what's next for him, and it should be interesting to get his take on what's going on. Also, NFL storylines. The NFL, the season's about to start. The training camp is about to start. All the players are going to their respective training camps and get ready for this upcoming season. A lot of things going on right now as we enter training camp. What's going on with Brett Favre? Is Brett Favre on his way back? Is he coming back? Probably, more than likely. He just wants to miss a little training camp. Where's T.O. going to land? Who knows what's going to happen there? It should be interesting what happens to him. I mean, he's having a hard time finding a job, and I think he's a guy who can definitely help some teams in this league, but for whatever reason, obviously it probably goes back to some of the things he's done in the past and some of the things he's done throughout his career. But all in all, you know, you wish a guy like T.O. would get another chance. I was a big T.O. fan when he played here in Philadelphia, and he's a guy that works hard and brings it, but does have an attitude issue, that tends to cloud all the great things he has done. And if you're living in the Philadelphia area, you're probably wondering how Kevin Cobb is going to do being the new starting quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles. Should be interesting what happens there and how that situation plays out. But I'm a guy, obviously, if you listen to the show, who was not in favor of that move and wished that Donovan McNabb was still here. But he's not, and we do have to move on from that. But I wish that he was still here, and I wish that management, Eagles management, would have realized the things that he can do and the ability that he has and the playmaking skills that he still has. But again, at this point, it becomes irrelevant. They did trade him within the division, and doing so, that's opening yourself up to some issues there. I mean, you figure you swept the Redskins last year. I think at the best, you're probably going to split. If not, you'll get swept. But at best, you're probably going to split with the Washington Redskins now that Donovan McNabb is in the fold there. So, I mean, there's a lot of things to talk about as the NFL and teams head out to their training camps. And, I mean, it's a great time of the year. Everybody's, it's a slow time here in sports. You have baseball going on, but football is king, and everybody's excited to see what will happen and how everything will turn out. But a lot of things going on in the world of football. Tom Brady and his issues in terms of contracts. Brady allegedly apparently is not happy what's going on with his contract situation in New England. Tom wants a new deal, and as far as I'm concerned, if a guy like Tom Brady asks for a new deal, he should get it. He definitely should get it. He's a guy who's proven to be a solid player in this league, more than a solid player, a great player in this league, and a guy who's won Super Bowls, and a guy who still has a lot of game left in him. But again, we got to see how things turn out with the CBA issue, collective bargaining agreement being what it is at this point. Teams seem to be reluctant to give out long-term deals to guys. So, I mean, so it should be interesting to see how that situation plays out. Obviously, I believe Tom will be a professional and handle his business and do what he has to do. But ultimately, just like anybody else, he wants to get paid. And it is probably near his last contract, so he definitely wants to get paid, and quite frankly, he deserves to get paid. So we're going to talk about some NFL storylines and as teams approach training camp. And a lot of people in the Philadelphia area are also talking about Mike Vick. Mike Vick has reported the Eagles apparently will keep Mike Vick. He will be on the roster. He will be the backup quarterback at this point. Barring injury, who knows, he could step in and be the number one quarterback. But it's a good opportunity for him, and hopefully for his sake, he doesn't mess it up. But you never know with that guy. But hopefully he will not mess it up or do anything that will mess it up. But we'll definitely talk about NFL storylines, and we want to get your thoughts on some of your NFL storylines. What do you think are some of the storylines going into training camp and going into this upcoming NFL season? Will T.O. get a job? Will Brett Favre come back? How will Kevin Cobb do this season for the Philadelphia Eagles? So we'll get your thoughts on that. And also, we'll get your thoughts on how you feel about Manny Pacquiao fighting Antonio Margarito. How do you feel about that? When he should be fighting Floyd Mayweather Jr. But how do you feel about that? We'll get your thoughts on that as well. Again, we're expected to be joined by 147-pound WBC champion, welterweight champion, Andre Berto. Andre will give his thoughts on what's going on with him, with Pacquiao fighting Margarito now, Mayweather on the sidelines, and Mosley going up to 154 to fight Sergio Mora. It looks like some of the money out the welterweight division has dried up a little bit. So where does Berto go to get the money? Does he go Does he go south to 140, where you got a lot of guys there, like Devin Alexander, Timothy Bradley, Zab Judah, a lot of guys there at 140. Amir Khan, Marcos Maidana, Victor Ortiz. I mean, you got a lot of guys, a lot of names out there, and a lot of money to be made there. Or does he go to 154? There was talk of him possibly going to 154 to face Cotto, who's up there at 154. So, I mean, we'll see what Andre does. We'll see where he goes. But, I mean, it should be interesting to get his thoughts and his insight on what's going on with him next. The numbers to call, 1-646-727-3070. That's 1-646-727-3070. And you can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/pgant. That's blogtalkradio.com/pgant. And you can send email messages to the show at goforit.gan@gmail.com. That's goforit.gan@gmail.com. So, sad news, actually, if you're a Steelers fan and you're a big fan of Bill Cowher, his wife passed away. And passed away at the age of 54, died of cancer. Apparently she was battling skin cancer for a long time now, and she passed away. So best wishes to the Cowher family as they try to heal after a tough loss and a tough situation for them. But, again, it's you wish them nothing but the best. And also, there was an interesting story, actually. Conservative commentator Glenn Beck referred to Brian Urlacher as a neo-Nazi. Obviously, he was joking. He jokingly referred to him as that. Beck has since apologized for it. And again, those type of things and words, and it's just not necessary. And I understand it was a joke, but you have to understand the climate that we live in, the climate of political correctness that we live in today. And you got to be careful the things that you say, because it unfortunately will come back to you. And that situation with Glenn Beck, he had to apologize. And you can't say it. Obviously, you can't say it. When you're in that position, when you're on TV, and unfortunately, you put a microphone in the face of somebody, many times they're going to say some things that may be a tad inappropriate. And Beck is definitely guilty of that. And unfortunately, he said those things, but he has apologized. So I guess you got to give him the benefit of the doubt, and hopefully, it is very, very sincere. Also, on to the NBA. Everybody wants to be a part of some kind of mega team, and a mega team, mega superstar situation. Chris Paul, I guess, apparently is no different. Chris Paul apparently has told the Hornets that he wants to be moved. He wants to be traded. And some of the teams that are on his list are the Orlando Magic or the New York Knicks. So you figure if he teams with the Orlando Magic for a second, I mean, they have some pieces that they can trade, maybe a Jameer Nelson, maybe a Michael Pietrus. They have some other pieces on that roster, but it probably will center around a Jameer Nelson, because he's a guy that definitely is a productive point guard. But if you're Orlando, I mean, Chris Paul is an upgrade over Jameer Nelson, definitely. He's a definite upgrade over Jameer Nelson, and it would be very helpful for the Magic if they picked up a guy like Chris Paul to form, I guess, another mega situation with Dwight Howard and Chris Paul there in Orlando. I mean, you team those guys up together in Orlando, and I mean, they're definitely favorites. I mean, they're favorites now. They're favorites now, but I mean, if you team them up in Orlando, you're talking about, wow, a big, big, big situation there, and a situation that would be very, very interesting to see what happens there. But we're now joined by WBC welterweight champion Andre Berto. Andre?
Buddy, how you doing?
How are you, sir? Welcome to the show.
Appreciate you for having me.
Now, Andre, first off, How's everybody back in Haiti? Everything okay there?
You know, everything is pretty much in slow motion. I mean, you know, they still need a lot of help that way. You know, a lot of things, you know, has been forgotten, but, you know, they're trying to just, you know, really trying to get them back together. So, you know, everything's in slow motion right now at this point.
Now, Andre, you were a guy that we saw some of these images first on TV, but you were a guy who saw these images firsthand. How tough was it to see something like that?
I mean, it was very tough, you know, just being a young man going over there and seeing the things that I've seen. I mean, you know, a lot of things that you've seen on TV was pretty graphic, but actually just being there right in the middle, right in the trenches of everything, you know, seeing these kids get amputated and you know, helping people is, you know, pull like these dead bodies out and yeah, I mean, just try all that we can to help the people and not being able to do too much for them.
Right. Now, I want to go back to one of your toughest fights. The fight against Louis Collazo was a tough fight, back and forth fight, a fight that he put you in those deep waters, as they say. What did you learn from that fight?
You know, I just basically learned just not to take you know, anybody lightly and to just train for every fight like with my last. You know, I went in there you know, half stepping a little bit. I went in there you know, kind of underestimating them a little bit, you know, not really, you know, just putting all into my camp like I needed to. And you know, in the show. But you know, he did put on a good fight, and you know, he pushed me to the limit, and you know, it was a very entertaining fight.
It was an entertaining fight, and you got the nod at the end. Now, you had to cancel the fight with Mosley because of the hurricane in Haiti. Now, you moved on in April. You fought Carlos Quintana, an impressive performance. And this is the same Quintana that beat Paul Williams. So. Did you expect them to beat him as easy as you did?
I mean, it was a tough fight. You know, he's a tough fighter. You know, but I came in there with, you know, with a lot different, you know, motivation. I came in there with a little bit of, you know, different motivation. I felt like I showed everybody that I could box the last couple of fights and, you know, fought some difficult southpaws, you know, back-to-back. But I just went in there with a whole different motivation. I believe that motivation is still there, and I felt that I could take him out, you know, whenever I wanted to, and I just pressed the action that I did.
And now the interesting thing about that fight, you tore your left bicep. You tore that earlier in the fight. So how was it, essentially fighting with one arm?
It was crazy. It was you know, it was just very difficult. I just went in there with just a lot of challenges that night. You know, it definitely stepped in the ring that night with a lot of emotions from, you know, from the whole Haiti situation and knowing that the fight was going to be dedicated to, you know, to the Haiti relief and you know, in the second round I tore my bicep, you know, so I went in there with a lot of different challenges, man, but, just mentally, you know, I stayed strong and I had to overcome. And I think it just showed a lot that night. I learned a lot about myself as well.
Now, you tore that left bicep, and how is the bicep now?
Oh, it's getting better. I've been going to rehab pretty, you know, pretty heavy, and you know, just everything is coming together, you know, pretty nicely. But I still kind of have the scars and the dents from the, you know, from the torn bicep. But you know, they tell me eventually, and everything will come back together. So you know, just working it. And, you know, just making sure everything's come back together all right.
Now, if you watch a lot of your fights, you see your father who's in the corner, who's yelling throughout the whole fight. Talk about how your father has shaped your career.
You know, my father, you know, as everybody can see, he's a very, motivated guy, very passionate guy. You know, he's a real man's man. And that's the way I've been, you know, brought up to put everything that I've had into whatever I'm doing. And he definitely, you know, just raised us to be, just raised us to be men, you know, and
right.
And to respect and just respect our craft and just understand that it is a blessing that we're going to put everything that we can into it. So, you know, he definitely helped me, you know, understand what hard work is and, you know, and the benefits of hard work. And,
right.
You know, he definitely not let me, you know, shy away from that at all.
Now, with the welterweight division, it seems like now you got Pacquiao moving up to fight Margarito. Now you have Mosley moving up to fight Sergio Mora. Do you have a dance partner? Did that leave you without any dance partner?
you know, it looks like there's been a lot of talk about you know, me and the Cotto fight still, you know, still there. I mean, I believe all the fights are still there. You know, everybody else is just trying to find, you know, different avenues, trying to get big fights done. But, you know, all these guys, they still can make 147, or I can go up to 54, I can go down to a catch weight at 140. You know, so there's a lot of different things that, you know, we still can do to try to make a lot of these big fights happen. So I just think a lot of these guys are just, you know, they're just moving around just to try to make interesting fights.
Now, if you talked about moving down to 140, and there's a lot of names at 140.
Yeah.
You got Devin Alexander, Timothy Bradley, and there was actually talk of you fighting the winner of Bradley in his last fight, and he won the fight. So is there any possibility of you getting in the ring with Timothy Bradley?
You know, actually, you know, me and Timothy Bradley were real good friends. He called me right after the fight, actually. You know, we spoke. You know, I mean, there's a possibility. You know, this right here is business. And, you know, me and Timothy Bradley, we're not strangers of each other in the ring. We already stepped in the ring twice before, fighting for the Olympic trials, or, you know, spot. You know, we'll see what happens. You know, right now we're going to continue to, I just sit back and support each other. And, you know, it's just all we do. So, you know, until that time, you know, we'll just keep it at that.
So the two times that you guys stepped in the ring, who got the upper hand?
I mean, I got the win both times, but it was definitely, you know, definitely tough. You know, tough fights either way.
Now, when you see a guy like Manny Pacquiao going up in weight to fight Antonio Margarito,
mm-hmm.
do you feel some respect that he's ducking a guy like you?
I mean, realistically, I don't think it's really Manny. I think it's his team. I mean, you know, he has a guy like Bob Arum. You know, as his promoter, and, you know, everybody that's known Bob know that Bob Arum's been in the game for a long time, and, you know, he knows what he's doing. So I believe he just rather keep everything in-house where he can make the most money. And, I mean, he has, you know, Pacquiao, he has, you know, Margarito. So, you know, so if he couldn't get a mega fight with Floyd right now at this point, you know, I think that's probably the next big money maker for him. So, you know, he's all about business. I don't really think it's Manny's situation. You know, he's just going to listen to his promoter, just do whatever his promoter tells him to do.
Now, we're talking to Andre Berto, 147-pound WBC champion. Andre, there had been talk of you and Mosley. You guys were supposed to get it on in January, and there was talk that you guys would get it on in September. What happened there with those negotiations?
You know, I'm not sure. I think my team, you know, reached out to the Mosley camp, you know, but him just coming off that loss, I don't think that that he was really, you know, interested in making the fight happen, you know, because he knew it was going to be another risky fight. And I think that he just pretty much just wanted just to go a different route, just to test out the waters with something different, to try to come back probably with another win, and then, you know, try to jump back in the negotiations. But you know, I mean, that's him and his team. You know, it doesn't have nothing to do with my situation. I'm staying focused on what I gotta stay focused on, and you know, I got a tremendous team behind me as well. And you know, we'll see what's gonna happen. You know, but right now at this point, you know, as everybody can see, my last fight, I'm definitely have a different, you know, mindset stepping back in the ring now, and I got that hunger. I got that motivation and that drive now to you know, try to try to get back to my old ways and really press these guys out in there. And if they're not supposed to be in the ring with me, they're not. I'll make sure that's evident.
And it was very evident against Carlos Quintana in your last fight. So
yeah.
Now the question becomes now, with Mosley fighting his guy, Moore, and Pacquiao going 154 now, and Mayweather sitting it out, what's next for Andre Berto?
You know, we had to wait and see. We're going to wait and see. You know, we're in negotiations heavy right now to see what's the next move. You know, it looks like we're going to be going back in, you know, sometime in the fall. So, you know, we're going to see how, you know, my whole team is, you know, they're sitting there, you know, putting the right game plan together. And then, you know, we're going to let the world know here soon. But, you know, I promise you it's going to be something big. So,
you have any names for us? Any hints?
No hints right now. You have to wait and see, man. Everybody can just stay updated on how negotiations going, or how, you know, like any other way they can try to catch me. Definitely follow me on my Twitter, you know, at Andre Berto, and you know, you want to know the like the day to day on what's going on. So,
well, make sure we follow Andre on Twitter, and you also have a website, AndreBerto.com, correct?
Yes.
So make sure you go there and check out what's going on with Andre. Andre, thanks a lot for joining the show, sir. Thanks for stopping by.
Cool.
When you make that announcement about that fight, make sure you come on back and we'll talk about it.
Cool. Sounds good.
Take care.
All right, my man. Thanks a lot.
All right. Well, I got the thoughts of Andre Berto there. Should be interesting what's going to happen now with all the monies seemingly dried up at 147. But, I mean, it was good to get his insight and good to see what's going on with Andre. Hello, you're on Go For It.
Hey, how you doing, Paul? This is Avery from Cleveland, Ohio.
How are you, sir?
I'm all right, sir. How are you?
Doing well.
Hey, I was hoping to get on with Andre, man. I had a few questions for him. I guess I'll pose these questions to you. As far as like all of these fighters, as far as all of these fighters jumping around, and I know it's all about the money. You know, I don't think any professional fighter ducks another professional fighter because that's what they do, right? These guys train, they're pugilists, right? That's the sweet sign. So this is what these guys do. I don't think anyone's afraid of anyone. But at the same time, do you think that a lot of the guys who handle these guys, you know, a lot of the Arams and it used to be Don Kings, do you think they maneuver these guys just to get the better dollar amount for themselves, vice letting the sweet science be just that, you know, two guys, two gladiators in the ring, 10 rounds, going for it, as you would say for your show?
Yeah, well, I think in a lot of ways, when you look at the situation with Pacquiao, I mean, obviously Bob Arum is keeping it in-house with Antonio Margarito, a guy that he promotes. It came down to either Cotto or Margarito. And apparently they chose Margarito. But that's the guy that Bob Arum promotes. And Pacquiao's in Bob Arum's stable. So they're going to try to keep the money in-house. Is it the best fight? No, not at all. I mean, I would love to see Pacquiao get in the ring with Andre Berto or Timothy Bradley or Devin Alexander or somebody else other than Margarito or Cotto.
Right. And I think at that weight, 154, I don't think Pacquiao walks around heavy enough to fight that and to sustain that at a weight class. It may just be he may go up just to get that fight, but every time you think Pacquiao can...
Hello? I think we got a bad cell there. Got disconnected. Well, I mean, and the points that he was making are very valid, very interesting, and in terms of Pacquiao possibly going up to 154, you do question a lot of times whether this guy can continue to keep going up and keep that power that he has and be still that same effective fighter that he was at 140, that he was at 147, that he was throughout his career. But he has defied the odds before. I mean, he's proven that each and every time he has stepped up in weight, that he's handled himself and has been very credible. Obviously, he's been more than credible. He's been knocking guys out and winning fights. So this is a guy who has proven that He can be effective at 140. He can be effective at 147. Should be interesting to see if he could be effective at 154. Well, if you have any thoughts on that or some of your thoughts on storylines, NFL storylines as teams go into training camp, I want to get your thoughts there. What do you think? Well, what are your storylines going into training camp? It could be from your favorite team. It could be anything. It could be from anybody's team. What are your storylines? What are your thoughts as training camps open throughout the league? And also, Chris Paul is chasing megastars, so to speak. He wants to be traded, apparently. His wish list is the Magic, is the Knicks. And then going to the Knicks, you're assuming that at some point maybe Carmelo Anthony will join him. But what are your thoughts on these super teams and everybody apparently just chasing championships at this point? It's just everybody just wants to chase them, just chasing them. They feel like they can't do it where they're at. So they want to go and join others. They want to chase championships. What are your thoughts on that? I mean, you got LeBron who chased the championship, took his talents to South Beach, chased that championship. It's just, I mean, in some respect, I guess it may be good for the league. I mean, you do have superpowers, so to speak. I mean, you have a superpower in Miami. I guess you could say you have a superpower in Boston with their big three. You still have the Lakers. You still have the Magic. And now if you move Chris Paul, I mean, the Magic, the way they're presently constructed, would be fine without Chris Paul, and I think still would be a championship contender. But if you add in a guy like a Chris Paul, who arguably is one of the best point guards in the game, I mean, it is an upgrade over Jameer Nelson. I mean, Jameer Nelson is a solid, solid, solid point guard. He's a very good point guard. But Chris Paul is an upgrade, and you can't get around it. There's no doubt about it. He's a definite, definite upgrade over Jameer Nelson. But if you're Orlando and you're bringing out your team, the team that you have out now, you'll be successful, I believe, and you will contend, and you possibly will win a championship. You're still a championship contender without a Chris Paul. With the Knicks, I guess he would join Amari Stoudemire, and then, again, there's been talk of Carmelo Anthony possibly signing with the Knicks in 2011. Another free agent frenzy in 2011. Will he have a decision show? I hope not, but you never know. You never know. Again, you hope not, because we saw how that thing went and how that situation ended pretty badly for LeBron James. It didn't really work out for the guy. A lot of people are talking about it to this day and just talking about how bad of a decision it was for him and his team to come up with that decision show. But I think it could have been better, though, LeBron, if you would have just stayed in Cleveland. If you had that show and were going to stay in Cleveland, it would have been a lot better. But you didn't do that. You went to Miami. You took your talents to Miami and South Beach. So, I mean, it's not the same situation, obviously. But it would have been great, LeBron, if you would have just said you were staying in Cleveland. That, my friend, would have been cool. And you still would have been the darling of the league and the darling of everybody. Everybody would have still loved you the way they loved you in the past. But you chose a different route. And you and your team decided that you needed to go to South Beach, and you and your team decided that you needed to have a TV show to tell the world where you were going. But LeBron, I mean, as we all know now, my friend, it was not a good move to have that special. The numbers to call, 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070. And you can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/PGAN. That's blogtalkradio.com/PGAN. And you can send email messages to the show at goforit.gant@gmail.com. That's goforit.gant@gmail.com. So let's get your thoughts. What are your storylines going into this big NFL season. Teams are headed off to training camp. So what do you think? What's going on? You talk about your team. What's going on with your team? What are your storylines going into training camp? And also, Chris Paul wants to be traded. He wants to be a part of another. He wants to make another mega team like they have in Miami. I guess like they have in Boston. He wants to make one of those teams. And he wants to be traded at this point, according to some reports. So well, he apparently has a meeting on Monday in New Orleans, and he will meet with the New Orleans brass to decide what he wants to do. But what do you think about these mega teams? Is it good for the league? Is it silly at this point? Is it becoming a little stupid and obnoxious at this point? Let me know what you think. Hello, y'all. Go for it.
How you doing? This is Mark from New Jersey.
How are you, sir?
I'm okay. I like the super team. I think the super teams are good for the league. You know, this reminds me of the 80s when you had the Celtics and the Lakers, even the Sixers for the early part of the 80s.
Right.
I enjoyed that.
Yeah, I mean, there is some truth to that. I mean, the league did flourish in the 80s. And you, like you said, you had the Lakers who and the Celtics, both of them who were had big threes like Magic, Worthy, and Kareem. In Boston, you had Bird, Parrish, and McHale. So you did have super teams back then. Then you had the Sixers who was there as well. But do you think it gets kind of stupid in some respect? I mean, these guys just powering their way out of these situations. Like a Chris Paul who's trying to force New Orleans to trade him, allegedly.
I just think it's a different age of basketball. Where, you know, you're able to do that now. Back then, I mean, Jordan, you know, he didn't do that. He spoke about it, but I mean, he got Scottie Pippen. Say Scottie Pippen didn't come, you know, say he never got a Scottie Pippen. How long do you think he would have stayed in that situation?
Well, and that's a good point. I mean, but it did take Jordan 7 years to win it, so he was patient in his situation. I thought, and then you're right about a Scottie Pippen, but in terms of Michael Jordan, I think he's one of those guys who was going to win. He was going to find a way to win. It took him some time to figure it out, but I thought he was going to find a way to win. And I was thinking LeBron might have been one of those type of guys as well. But I think you have to question LeBron at this point and then question some of these guys who want to be a part of these big threes. In some respect, and maybe these guys don't feel like they can do it by themselves.
I would agree with some of that. I would agree with some of that.
I mean, because you figure now you have guys like Jordan coming down and Magic coming out saying that, you know, these guys wanted to beat the other guys. They didn't want to join up with them. And you have Barkley who said the same thing. You know, at the age of 25, he wanted to be the man. He didn't want nobody else to be the man. He wanted to be the man at that age.
I have another question for you. I caught the end of your interview with Alberta.
Yes.
And did he speak about anything about Pacquiao and Mayweather about some fighting or, you know, why they weren't fighting? Did you ask them that?
No, he didn't talk about that, but he did say that, you know, at some point with everybody moving around and shuffling around, that he will get an opportunity, he thinks. And he says he's got something planned in the fall, so we'll see if we get a big announcement from him.
Okay. Well, thanks for your time.
Thank you for your call. Well, I mean, we do have a caller who likes that big three situation, who is a fan of mega teams, so to speak, who is a fan of seeing things like LeBron, Bosh, and Wade. And he made a very good point in the heyday of the league in the 80s. You had the situation where guys, you had the situation where you had the Lakers and the Celtics, who were powerhouse teams, and then you had the Sixers who were there trying to scrap and claw to beat those teams. And I guess you had the Bucks who were a decent team back then as well. But there were the two mega teams were the Lakers and the Celtics, and the league thrived. And so if you want to go by that recipe and you want to go by history, I guess it is a recipe for success, having these mega teams and having these big threes, so to speak. But we'll see what happens, and we'll see how that situation plays out as the league gets started in November. But now let's focus on the NFL. And like I said, a lot of teams are headed off to training camp. And we'll see what happens with a lot of these teams. And some of the players are slowly creeping in terms of some of the rookies being signed. You had Dez Bryant who signed the other day. So he's in there in the fold with Dallas. And you also have some situations where you have teams dealing with suspensions, and mainly that's the Pittsburgh Steelers, who for the first few weeks will not have Ben Roethlisberger. And apparently, as we look now, it looks like Byron Leftwich will start for the Steelers, at least for the first four games, and if the suspension goes to six games, as it possibly could, depending on how Big Ben handles the situation. Leftwich could be the Steelers' quarterback for six games. But, I mean, if you look at it, I mean, it's a situation, if you're a Steelers fan, you got to be a little nervous about. I mean, Byron Leftwich is a solid starter. Byron Leftwich is an okay starter. He did lead a team to the playoffs, but he's an okay starter. But obviously not a guy you want to be your quarterback, especially if you have a guy like Ben Roethlisberger. But in that situation, with Byron Leftwich under center for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and if you're a Steelers fan, you have to be nervous. You have to be very, very nervous. And if you look at it, they start off home against the Falcons. Then they have the Titans. Then they have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and they're home against the Ravens. That looks like 2-2. That possibly looks like 2-2. Maybe a loss against the Falcons. And may actually, and looking at that, that may be 1-3. I mean, you have the Falcons, who a team that many expect to be a contender this year. And then you have the Titans, who finished strong last year. And then you figure you have the Ravens, who are going to be a solid team. So, and have you have Tampa Bay, but that's a team I think they'll beat. So I'm looking at, I said 2-2 initially, but now I'm thinking 1-3 for the Pittsburgh Steelers, especially without Big Ben. And then even if you have Big Ben in the fold, 2-2 will be respectable considering those teams that they're playing. So, I mean, we'll see what happens there. But, I mean, if I'm a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, I am a little nervous about that situation. And also, you look at Mike Shanahan headed to Washington. He replaced Tim Zorn. You have Bruce Allen as the GM and Mike Shanahan as the coach. And so if you're the Redskins, I mean, especially with Donovan McNabb in the fold, you're expecting better things. You added some running backs and Larry Johnson and Willie Parker to the mix. You had a decent defense. We'll see what happens with Albert Hainsworth. Maybe they can straighten out that situation, get his head on straight, so he can contribute on the defensive side of the football. But all in all, you got a good situation there in Washington, and you got a top-flight coach and a top-flight GM. So if you're a Redskins fan, things may be looking up for you. Things may be looking up for you, but we'll see how that situation plays out. But Donovan McNabb has some good football left in him, everybody. Everybody, Donovan McNabb has some good football left in him. So we'll see what happens with that Redskins team, but don't sleep on them. Do not sleep on them, especially with Shanahan and McNabb in the fold. Now you look at the Arizona Cardinals. Matt Leinart is now going to be leading the ball club. Kurt Warner has retired, moved on. Kurt was very effective for the Cardinals the past two seasons, led them to the Super Bowl one year, then the playoffs the next. So we'll see if Leinart is the real deal. If he's not the real deal, they did bring in Derek Anderson from Cleveland, and Derek Anderson may be a guy who can contribute. And can, I mean, he had some decent numbers in Cleveland that one season, but from then on he's been sort of inconsistent, and a guy that has proven to be inconsistent for the Browns. And we'll see how he contributes, or if he gets an opportunity to contribute for the Arizona Cardinals. But it's up to Matt Leinart and see how he plays. But there's no guarantee that this guy will be ready to go. And so far what you saw of him, it's not been very impressive, but we'll see what happens. Also, if you look at the New York Jets, a team that has added some pieces. They added LT, LaDainian Tomlinson. We'll see how much football he has left. They added Jason Taylor. They added Antonio Cromartie. They added Santonio Holmes. I mean, you couple that with Bart Scott and Darrell Revis, guys that they already have, and Mark Sanchez. This is a team that may be there again. That on the defensive side of the ball, man, that's a great football team on the defensive side of football. They're good. They're definitely a good team on the defensive side of football. And adding Cromartie definitely doesn't hurt. I mean, you already have Darrell Revis, and we have to see how the situation with Revis' contract plays out. In a lot of ways, you hope, as a Jet, if you're a Jets fan, that it's not a distraction and that they clean it up and then it'll get done. But you never know what can happen in this situation. And if you're a Jets fan, you hope that they'll clean it up and that it won't be a distraction. But I think the key here is Mark Sanchez. Does he take a step back here? A sophomore slump, so to speak. Does he take that step back? Or does he continue to progress and continue to be a top-flight quarterback for the New York Jets? We'll see. We'll see what happens. But if you're a Jets fan, you got to be excited going into this season. Now, back to the Eagles. You look at the Eagles. The question becomes Kevin Cobb. Is Kevin Cobb the guy? Is he the guy? Is he the guy who's going to be able to come in and replace a Donovan McNabb? Is he the guy who is going to get the job done for the Philadelphia Eagles coming in, going into this next season? I have my questions. I mean, he was a guy who did play two solid football games, 300-plus yards in those games, and is a guy who showed some promise. And they have a lot of weapons on the offensive side of the football with DeSean Jackson, Jeremy Maclin, Brent Celek, LeSean McCoy, the running back. So they have some pieces there on the offensive side of the ball that could help Cobb and will help Cobb. But how much will help Cobb is the question. We'll see what Kevin Cobb has and what he can contribute coming into this season with the Philadelphia Eagles. It's going to be a lot of pressure on the guy. It's going to be a lot of pressure on the guy. He also has a Mike Vick situation. But I don't know how much of a distraction that will be. Going in, we all know that Kevin Cobb is the starter, and I don't think he'll be looking over his shoulder at all. And I think the only way Mike Vick will get in if Kevin Cobb is injured. That's the only way. I think that's the only way it's going to happen. I think they're going to let Cobb play this thing out, whether it's good or bad. So we'll see what happens there. The New Orleans Saints, will they repeat? Will they repeat this year? I mean, they're a team that surprised some last year, and they're a team with Drew Brees who is exceptional on the offensive side of football. And it's a team that I think is going to be there. But, again, in terms of repeating, it's always hard. It's always difficult in the NFL because you have teams gunning for you. A lot of teams will be gunning for the Saints team. They're the champions now. So people will be gunning for them. And will they have enough? Will they be strong enough to get it done? Will they be strong enough to get it done in New Orleans? We'll have to see how that transpires and see what happens there. Also, you look at Timmy Tebow, drafted high by the Denver Broncos, 25th in the draft. We'll see what he has. I mean, obviously, he's not going to be a starting quarterback this season for the Broncos. And I question whether he could be an effective starter, period, in the NFL. I'm not a guy who's big on Tebow. He was in a system in Florida. It wasn't a pro system. He basically was like a wildcat situation in Florida at the University of Florida for Tebow. And I'm not really sold on this guy as an NFL quarterback. As a matter of fact, I don't think he can be a solid NFL quarterback in this league. I don't see it. I just don't see it. Does have some arm strength, but I just don't see it, man. I see a competitive guy. I see a guy who can help in a wildcat situation, but I do not see a guy who can be an every down starting quarterback in this league. I don't see it. I don't see it. But in Denver, they do have their own situation with quarterbacks. They have Kyle Orton, and they did bring in Brady Quinn. So we'll see if those guys, Quinn or Orton, we'll see who will get the job. Right now, it's probably going to be Kyle Orton, who had a decent year for the Denver Broncos. Not a great year, decent year. But, I mean, you got to see what happens with Brady Quinn as a guy who was drafted high by the Cleveland Browns and traded to the Denver Broncos this year, and a guy that has shown some promise. But again, and he is working with Josh McDaniels, who's a decent offensive mind. So we'll see what happens there, and we'll see if he will, meeting Brady Quinn, we'll see if how much he can contribute or if he will get an opportunity to contribute this season for the Denver Broncos. Also, you look at, in terms of the Super Bowl and in terms of the Baltimore Colts, the Indianapolis Colts, a team that went to the Super Bowl last year, a team that had the looks of a team that could win the Super Bowl, and a team I thought would win that game against the Saints. I mean, but they had their situation with Reggie Wayne, who is a little unhappy right now. Reggie wants a new deal. And again, with the CBA being what it is this year and all the issues with that, a lot of guys aren't getting the type of money right now that they would like. I mean, guys want money now. They want their situations changed now. And if you're a guy like Reggie Wayne, a guy who has produced in this league and has done great things in this league, you deserve it, rightfully so. You want to get paid. You deserve it. You balled in these past few years. You've done great things on the football field, so you deserve to get paid. But as of right now, that may be an issue for the Colts. But, of course, the Colts will be there. If you got Peyton Manning, Dwight Freeney, and those guys, you're going to be there. And the Colts will be right back in the mix. And we'll see what happens there. But they'll be back, and they'll be in the mix. And we'll see if it's going to be big things for the Colts. Will they get the job done? Will Peyton Manning get another Super Bowl? I want to go to Brett Favre and his situation each and every year. It all comes down to what's going on with Brett. What is Brett going to do? Is he staying? Is he going? Is he gonna try to come back after training, in the middle of training camp, or maybe after training camp? I mean, who knows what's going to happen with Favre? I mean, he's coming back. I mean, let me just get that out the way right now. He's coming back. Brett Favre will be back next year for the Minnesota Vikings. I don't think he's going to sit out. I don't think he's going to retire. The guy is going to take a wheelchair. He's going to continue to play. If he had to play in a wheelchair, the guy would go out and play. I mean, if he had to play on crutches, the guy would go out and play. I mean, football is just who he is. It's a big part of his DNA. And so, I mean, Brad Childress did go out to Mississippi with the guy to talk to the guy, I assume, and see what's going on there. But, you know, with Brett Favre and this whole on-again, off-again, will he or won't he situation, it's just tiring at this point. And let's just move on. Let's just move on. Jason Campbell, moving on to the Raiders. Moving on to the Raiders to replace Jamarcus Russell. I mean, it's an opportunity for Jason Campbell. It's definitely an opportunity for him to prove some of the naysayers wrong, some of the people who have said that he's not a good quarterback. And I think Jason Campbell is a decent quarterback. I think Jason Campbell was stuck in a bad situation in D.C. And I think Jason Campbell in Oakland could be successful. How successful, we'll have to see. But, I mean, well, they did bring in a new offensive coordinator, Hugh Jackson, who was very influential in developing Carson Palmer and Joe Flacco. And so, I mean, who's to say Hugh can't work his magic with Jason Campbell? Should be interesting. we'll see what happens. So let me get your thoughts, if you have any, and I hope you do if you want to call the show. The number is to call 646-727-3070. That's 646-727-3070. You can listen to the show at blogtalkradio.com/PGAN. That's blogtalkradio.com/PGAN. And you can send email messages to the show at goforit.gan@gmail.com. That's goforit.gan@gmail.com. About another 4 minutes left in the show. As we look around and go around and look at some of the storylines as teams head into training camp. And, I mean, you know, I mean, it's pretty hot here in the Northeast. So, I mean, it's not going to be happy times as teams go out to those training camps, go away from their families, and go to college dorm somewhere in the country, in some small town somewhere away from it all. I mean, that's a difficult situation. You're asking a guy to leave his family, leave his wife and his kids, leave some good times in those big cities that they're at, and head on to these small towns and train in the hot weather. That's not exciting. And that's not something I would look forward to. I mean, you're putting on all these pads, and, I mean, it's hot in shorts and a T-shirt. I mean, heck, it's hot with no shirt and shorts. And in some respect, it's hot with a wife beater and shorts. And it's hot naked, quite frankly, out here. But, I mean, if you've got all these pads on and a helmet, I mean, you're hot. You're hot. You're sweaty. It's hot. It's sweaty out there. And you're expected to perform. You're expected to perform. But I guess that's why you make all the money that you do. That's why you lift all those weights. That's why you train like you train. That's why you do all those things to prepare for training camp and ultimately to prepare for the upcoming season. So, I mean, do I feel sorry for the guys? No, not really. No, not at all, actually. But you can understand their pain having to leave their family and all everything just to go out and train in 90-degree weather. Well, it is what it is, I guess. And I guess in some respect, it's sort of like a boxer who, again, dedicates themselves and goes away from their family and goes away from everybody to train and to do what they do to get themselves ready. It's a tough commitment. It's a heck of a commitment that boxers and a lot of these athletes make to become successful and to make the money that they make. It's a commitment, man. And again, I don't know how sorry I feel for them, and I don't think anybody should feel sorry for these guys, but do know that they put in some work. They put in a lot of work to get ready to be banged around, hit around, knocked around on the NFL football field. So, training camp's about to start, and so it should be exciting times. I mean, everybody's a champion right now. Everybody can say, you know what, everybody's 0-0. And everybody can say they have a legitimate chance to win a championship. Why not say it? You can say it now at this point. You can say it at this point. You have a chance to win a championship. But time slowly shows that, you know, some teams are champions and some teams won't be champions, and some teams won't be good. But the season will start soon. Training camp will start now for the Dallas Cowboys, so it should be exciting times. I want to thank Andre Berthold, WBC welterweight champion, for joining us. Good luck with him in the future. We also want to thank our callers. We want to thank for those who listened, and again, you can listen to past shows at blogtalkradio.com/PGAN. That's blogtalkradio.com/PGAN to listen to past shows. Hope everybody had a good time listening. I had a good time talking to you. Have a great day. Have a great week. Bye.
Get rid of it.